97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Well, happy weekend. Welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the great outdoors. If you've had a rough week of long election season, we're going to relax you and talk about fun things today, aren't we, Bo?
Exactly.
Yeah, Mark Cox in here along with my partner, Bo Matthews, and producer Carl Middleman.
Hi.
I paused that time and you didn't say pew pew.
I'll say it when we're talking about weapons.
Okay, nice. I appreciate that. That's good.
You know, with that music in the background, you can light your little chimney on your patio, grab you something cold to drink or hot to drink. It is a chilly weekend, but this is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, and we're going to talk about all that stuff, and it was a heck of a week. I'm exhausted, actually. I'm exhausted from the buildup for the midterms.
Yeah.
And a little anticlimactic.
It's gun deer season. I can take it out on something. That's a good thing, though, right? That's what I'm looking forward to. Yeah, no, well, no. Just with my new gun that I'm going to go hunting with this weekend. And hopefully, after reading my deer cast, I'll know exactly the best day to go, which won't matter because I'll be out there in the morning, dark 30 in 19-degree weather. So,
you know, how wonderful it is that we have this opportunity in Missouri for deer hunting and all the other hunting seasons, but with the cost of chicken and beef going up so crazy, people are scrambling, and I think it's a great way to do it because a deer tag is still going to be a lot less when you counter the you know dollar per pound of venison. It's way better if you harvest it yourself.
That's true. You know, you make a good point about that. I've got a good friend. We were joking about this the other day, who goes salmon fishing in Alaska every year. Mm. Now, Carl goes fishing up there.
I go fishing in Canada.
And it's out. He goes in Canada, and it's outstanding. It's a lot of fun. You go for the experience. It's fantastic. But if you had to average out the cost per pound for that fish, imagine it'd be a lot cheaper to go to the grocery store and buy it.
Right? You have to get there.
But with deer hunting, you can get a deer tag in Missouri for $17 if you're a resident. And if you, as long as you've got a place to hunt, you got an opportunity to put some meat in the freezer, baby, at a reasonable price.
See, two things. I don't have enough freezer space because I'm not a deer hunter myself, but I love deer hunters because a lot of them are generous and share, you know, the deer sausage deer. How can I sponsor a hunter to harvest me a whole deer? Can I do that?
What's your email address, Paul?
Talk to me.
Oh, well, I'll sponsor you.
Thank you. Oh. That we'll make.
Now
we'll
you're
work
not going to get
we'll,
any.
We'll make a little side deal. Yep. See, he's afraid I won't kill one. But if you want a deer, I can get several doe tags and I can probably fix you up.
It's not illegal, right? It's
not at all.
Like a straw purchase kind of thing.
No.
Not at all. You just need somebody that's lucky enough to be able to kill more than one deer and also have the deer tags to do it.
So, okay.
For the investment of $17, you might be able to get yourself a deer, Bo.
After this show, we are talking about it. I do want to mention also, don't ever forget about Share the Harvest Food Pantry and Thrift Store. If you do take in more deer than you need, check out what Share the Harvest does. It's actually a pretty cool opportunity. I've known about the organization for a long time.
And Mark, if you don't have a weapon, how could you possibly get one for just $10? A raffle.
Oh, think about that. Carl Middleman is just brilliant.
I'm thinking.
Isn't he? He's thinking ahead.
He's producing.
I will remember to now mention the ATF raffle that is going on through Responder Rescue, Bo. The ATF raffle is, we've added to it. It's the ATFF raffle now. Did you know that?
No.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and food.
And fireworks. Food. Oh, and food.
Food.
That was your idea, Bob.
Yeah. So to raise money for Responder Rescue, which helps out our men and women who are first responders, if they get in a tight spot, need a bill paid, stuff like that, they've been injured in the line of duty, 100% of the proceeds go to that. For a $10 raffle ticket, or if you buy five of them, you get one for free. So for every five you buy, we throw an extra raffle ticket in there.
Love
no
that.
Limit on the number you can buy. You might win a Angstead Arms UDP-9 pistol from the Range St. Louis West. You might win a box of cigars from Lit Cigar Lounge out in Chesterfield valued at $600. You might win a whole probably 12 bottles. I call it a whole basket of bourbon. Probably 12 bottles of bourbon. There's a Garrison Brothers Balmora in there that retails at well over $200 if you can find it. There's Blanton's and E.H. Taylor and Eagle Rare that have all been donated for this raffle. That's the third prize. The fourth prize that's been added is a buffet catered for 25 people. Dang. From my friend Grillmaster Tony at grillmastertony.com. He cooks brisket like you can't believe. He'll bring you a brisket and pulled pork and sides and everything for a group of up to 25 people. You get a certificate that's good for a whole year to use it. So we'll have four different winners. So go to 971talk.com/Cox or go to responderrescue.org. Either of those places, you can buy a ticket online. You can go to therangestl.com for the Range St. Louis West, or just go in the store over there. And they're
I'm going
selling,
Monday.
They're selling the tickets in there. You can buy them, yep, right at the counter. So
I'm going Monday, and I do want to explain real quick the way you're going to be doing the drawing. The first ticket pulled gets their choice of all four.
Yes.
The second choice gets the rest of the three they can pick from, and so on. I think that's genius. I think that's actually pretty smart.
All fabulous prizes, too. And here's, yeah, the thing. We're going to pull the winner live on November 23rd. You don't even have to wait that long. Before Thanksgiving, we'll have a winner, and I'll do it live on Facebook at about noon that day on the 23rd. And all of the money goes to Respond to Rescue. Last year, we raised $25,000. We're trying to crush that goal this year. So please, 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 if you're listening, go buy a ticket. Again, responderrescue.org is the easiest way to do that.
Or a bunch of them.
Yeah.
A bunch of them.
Please, yeah, buy a bunch of them. We've had somebody buy hundreds of those last year. So I'm hoping people do that again. We really want to send a lot of money over to Respond to Rescue. Hey, I've got a warning for you, Bo.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
The National Park Service is putting out a warning to people. I don't know if you heard about this or not.
No.
Please, 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 I know this applies to you, Bo, stop licking the toads.
And this is the great outdoors portion of the program.
The Sonoran...
it's a problem.
The Sonoran desert toad is found in some national parks in the country. And the U.S. Park Service is warning people not to do that. Some people, apparently, it's like a internet challenge. If you lick them, it gives you some sort of an hallucinogenic experience. But apparently, it can also make you very sick. And it can be life-threatening. So they're really encouraging you. There's not going to be a prince or a princess on the other side of that experience.
Damn it, TikTok.
And you know, that's all this is. All you're doing is advertising this TikTok challenge because people are not going to heed the warning. I guarantee you. They're just not going to do it.
Who's that dumb? Who would be dumb enough to do that?
TikTokers?
Teenagers? I don't know. Teenagers, maybe?
Well, but see, they're going after the hallucinogenic portion of it, and they may not realize how sick they could get. But they don't care. They just don't.
Maybe the same people that voted for Amendment 3 this past week. No!
Hey,
Whatever you do, the weed amendment.
Yeah. I tried to get somebody from your St. Louis Zoo to come on and talk about this, and they said, nah, we're good.
Did you tell them that that's a taxpayer-supported institution and they should come on and talk about that?
Well, they said, what are we going to say? Don't lick toads. That's the entire segment. And so... but we could have gotten a whole bunch of background on why people do this and why they shouldn't do this. But they're like, this is not worth our time.
Bo Matthews, what did Jim White always say on the radio in St. Louis for years and years and years?
You can't fix stupid.
Thank you. You can't. You can warn people about it. Could you imagine walking through the woods and seeing a frog and decide you're going to pick it up and lick it? No.
Not kiss it.
Not kiss it. Lick it.
Well, and this just goes the same way as the one chip challenge or any of these other crazy challenges people put out there. Don't do it, but let other people on the internet do it.
Yeah, I think you've been warned. Let's put it that way. We're trying to help you out here. Hey, coming up, speaking of the election, I brought it up. I don't know how you feel about it. Maybe you're happy. Maybe you're unhappy. The question is, did anything happen that might impact your Second Amendment rights? We're going to talk to Aaron Dorr, policy advisor for the Missouri Firearms Coalition, straight ahead on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox and Carl Middleman, our executive producer.
Pew, pew.
This segment is you better do that twice. You forgot to do that last week.
I had it. And you guys were stepping on me. So, pew, pew.
Nice.
There you go. That works. This segment brought to you by Razorback Armory, featuring their silencers, their suppressors, if you've ever dreamed of having one. And I have to give you an update. I went and I put my paperwork in about March, and I'm still waiting on mine. It does take a little time, but go in to see Jesse and Brad at Razorback Armory on Manchester Road in De Pere and get the process started. Go to RazorbackArmory.com for more details.
Bo, I read where our mutual friend, a local police chief, got his approval. Already.
I
think
you've been
beaten.
I know. I told him, okay, I'm going to take him for that steak and shake dinner.
Yep.
No, it was a steak dinner. Probably steak and lobster now.
You've now lost. I'm sure the chief will be on you for that one. Hey, let me get Aaron Doerr on the phone now. He's the policy advisor for the Missouri Firearms Coalition. Great to have him on again. We wanted to invite him on post-election to kind of see what maybe he's expecting. I know the election wasn't as overwhelming as a lot of us had hoped for. But Aaron, welcome into the show.
Good morning, guys. Thanks a lot for the time.
Yeah, great to have you on again. You know, I was looking at this, and for all of the angst over whether or not this was going to be a wave or who was going to get elected or who wasn't, in general, Missouri came out smelling like a rose if you happen to be pro-2A, because we've got still a supermajority in the House and the Senate. We've got the governorship, and all five statewide elected offices are in the hands of Republicans.
Yeah, certainly what you're seeing across the country, especially here in Missouri, is the red states are getting redder, blue states are getting bluer. That's been the story of the election here last night. We're still counting, of course, ballots across key races across the country as far as the congressional races. But yes, here in Missouri, well, we're super pleased to see Eric Schmidt not replacing Roy Blunt in the Senate. We've got Eric Burleson heading to Congress from the 7th. It was a great night for gun owners here in Missouri.
It was. Aaron Doerr is our guest from the Missouri Firearms Coalition. You know, the fight's never over. And Aaron, I want to talk about the efforts that you have on your website for people to get involved with that fight, whether it's financially or otherwise. You want to talk to those that do support the Second Amendment rights. And a lot of new, even liberals, are supporting Second Amendment by maybe becoming a first-time gun owner and hopefully training safely, as we all want. But we want to really introduce them to Missouri Firearms Coalition, if you wouldn't mind doing it in a few words.
Yeah, sure. MOFC is fighting on the ground in Jeff City all session long to expand our gun rights. We passed SAPA legislation, as your audience knows, a year ago. We're now fighting to expand Stand Your Ground law. We're fighting to block the implementation of red flag gun seizures this upcoming session as well. As you said, the fight never ends. We have rhinos in Jeff City who are not friendly to our gun rights, and we've got Democrats there who are also attacking our gun rights. We can never sit back and just coast. Our gun rights are never either we're losing ground or we're gaining ground. Here at MOFC, we're always on the attack trying to gain ground. And to get more involved, you guys can go to MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org.
Great advice there. Aaron, so we know what the election results are now. We know that prior to this, there have been several failed efforts to either rescind or change the SAPA law in the Missouri legislature. Those failed. Do you think they take another run at it? What's the over-under? Did we gain enough solid conservatives in Jeff City that they won't be successful in trying to do that?
I think that the primaries here in Missouri tell the tale when it comes to efforts by rhinos to attack our gun rights. The primaries were wildly successful for pro-gun candidates across the state. I did not look to see any major credible attack on SAPA coming from the right. The real question right now for next session is red flag gun seizures.
Yes.
You know, Joe Biden passed a massive, with Roy Blunt's help, by the way, passed a massive gun control bill in June that gives him $750 million to use to bribe states that pass red flag gun seizures. We had a shooting in St. Louis at the school here recently. Going forward, if we have, God forbid, a big shooting somewhere, whether it's Missouri or someplace else, and the DOJ is dangling tens of millions of dollars in the face of rhinos in a state capitol, the real threat here is going to be red flag gun seizures going forward in Missouri, more, I believe, than any real attempt to repeal SAPO law.
Aaron Doerr is our guest on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors, talking gun laws. Missouri Firearms Coalition is a great organization that does fight that. I saw a story from yesterday that the Violence Policy Center is a handgun prohibition organization. I'm sure you're aware of it. And they actually, on their website, host a document declaring handguns should be banned from future sale except for military and law enforcement personnel.
They think that they're just, in Canada or what?
That just fires me up. It's ridiculous. And somebody was on in Congress. They were doing a conversation. They were talking about how an AR or an assault rifle and the semi-automatic pistol, it's the same action. It's the same exact action. So what do you think we could do about that, Aaron?
Well, the first thing is that you're never going to see the Missouri Firearms Coalition get defensive about our AR-15s. We don't have to have I could discuss how they're handy to operate. They've got great accessories. They're lightweight. They're controllable. That's not the point. We have a right to keep and bear arms because we are citizens of this country. These are God-given rights, and we're always going to defend them no matter what here in Missouri. Any attempt to ban AR-15s will be struck down aggressively in Missouri right now. Any attempt to ban the sale of handguns is not going to move here in Missouri right now. But the point remains, the enemies to our freedom, they've kind of pulled off the mask finally. There's no more hinting at their agenda. Their agenda is to disarm the American people, period. That's their goal here in Missouri. That's their goal in Washington, D.C. So for anybody who has been on the sidelines in this fight for the last 10 years, it's time to get involved now because the left is mobilizing more and more every day. We saw it last night, a rough election night. And we're probably going to lose the Senate or keep that in Democratic hands. We're going to have a very slim majority the way it looks in the House. This is D.C. now, not Jefferson City. And we have to get involved. So now's the time to join that fight and get involved today. It's MissouriFirearmsCoalition.org or join MOFC.com.
Yeah, Aaron, very quickly, just to tap into your expertise on this, I had a friend ask me the other day, and she is pro Second Amendment, but she's also fallen for this argument after the shooting in St. Louis about, well, why don't we allow red flag laws? And I tried to give her my encapsulation of why I thought that's a really bad idea. And it there's no adjudication guaranteed. You can have an angry neighbor who decides to call and report you for some reason unconnected to your firearms. What answer would you have given her?
At the end of the day, individual shootings are obviously horrific and tragic. That's why we all carry firearms to stop those things from happening. But at the end of the day, if we give the government the power to disarm us for no reason whatsoever, with no crime having been committed at all, we're going to wake up one day and we're going to be a disarmed population where the government has firearms and we don't. And our main fear and our main job here to protect is to avoid that situation where we have no firearms and our government does. Because over the course of history, governments have killed hundreds of millions of unarmed citizens, far outnumbering every act of violence that criminals carry off on a one-off basis across the state and across the country. If we allow the government to take away our firearms, it's going to pay horrible dividends to our grandchildren someday down the road.
Well said.
Yeah. All you have to do is look, you know, grab your cell phone and pull up news of Australia or Venezuela. It has been a horrible situation, and crime actually increases in some of those countries where the gun laws are so strong that you know, people don't have an opportunity to be armed to protect themselves. So anyway, Aaron, you know, keep up the good fight. Thanks for joining us again. Aaron Doerr, the policy advisor at the Missouri Firearms Coalition. We'll get you on again very soon, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Good to get Aaron on here, and always, as always, because he's just such a great resource for that stuff, Bo.
Absolutely. And speaking of guns, it is gun season for deer in the state of Missouri. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dan Zarlenga from the Missouri Department of Conservation to talk about all things deer hunting this weekend on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
from the south side.
If you want the season to change, just hang around Missouri for a little while, and then suddenly it's 71 day and 19 the next. Just our luck for the opening day of deer season. How about that, Bo Matthews? How you like
oh, have
that?
You been looking at the weather forecast? Don't be doing that.
Thank goodness.
You may roll
I
over
did.
And go, I'm going to stay in bed.
That's, man, I'm telling you, what a shock. Let's get to Dan Zarlenga from the Missouri Department of Conservation joining us this morning to talk a little bit more about firearms deer hunting season that is now in effect on the 12th here in the great state of Missouri. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
Great. Thank you. Gonna get a little colder than I'd like for deer season, but other than that.
Well, you know, it's better than what I guess for deer season than it was a week or so ago when it was 80. So, look at the bright side. Probably the lesser of two evils.
That is very true. We wanted to get with you and just talk about a couple of the things. If anything has changed this year for people who are going out, what they can expect in terms of licensing and limits and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a lot of it's similar to, previous years. You, of course, need your deer hunting permit, which is, for residents, it's $17, resident adults, and, outstate folks, is like $265. So, it's pretty reasonable overall as far as permits go, relative. And as far as the limits are concerned, you can take, one antlered deer during the firearms deer season's combined, or two if you're also hunting archery. And then as far as the antlerless ones go, that's going to vary a little bit this year. Most counties you can fill up to two antlerless permits, but there are some exceptions. So my recommendation would be look at either on our website or the 2022 fall deer and turkey hunting booklet, and that can give you all the details there. But other than that, we're expecting a great season. Looks like the weather will actually, favor hunters this year, at least for opening weekend. So that's good. The other big news item, though, is we are continuing our chronic wasting disease sampling protocol for this year, like we've done in the most of the recent years past. And that will involve that hunters who are hunting in our select CWD management zone counties will need to bring their deer in for testing those first 2 days of firearms deer season, this Saturday and Sunday, November 12th and 13th.
So how do you know which if you're counting? I mean, is that on the hunter then? I'm sorry to I didn't mean to interrupt Bo there, but is that on the hunter to go to the website and figure out, because everybody's hunting everywhere?
Yeah. So, yes, you can do, again, just like the other things, you can go to our website, mdc.mo.gov, and basically look up CWD, and that will give you, that will get you to all the information. Or if you have that 2022 fall deer and turkey hunting pamphlet, which you can pick up, you can download from our website. You can pick up at any place you buy permits or any conservation office. And that has a very clear delineated map showing you where the CWD management zone counties are, and it shows you graphically in a map what counties do require that sampling, and it's also listed there. So, yeah, it's fairly easy information to get. And so if you are in one of those 34 counties that are in the CWD management zone, you will need to bring your deer in to one of the stations in that county and have it sampled. And those stations are also listed in those same two sources I mentioned, mdc.mo.gov and that fall deer and turkey hunting pamphlet.
From the Missouri Department of Conservation, Dan Zarlenga is joining us. And my question, can we drill down on the information about the chronic wasting disease? How is the testing done? What happens if you, can you visually see that an animal has this or not necessarily? And if it does, do you just not take it in?
Yeah, sure. So, let me go back a little bit and talk about the history of CWD, and we'll hit all those points. CWD is chronic wasting disease. We'll just call it CWD. That rolls off the tongue a little easier. And, it's been on the landscape in this country since about the late 1960s, but not in Missouri. It was out west mostly, I believe, in Colorado and those areas. But it did make its first appearance here in Missouri at around 2010, I believe. in north central Missouri, and since then it has expanded to encompass more counties in Missouri. The current status is it does appear to be expanding, but very slowly. The vast majority of deer don't have it, so it's not like it's rampant on our landscape. But it's enough to that we want to keep make sure we monitor it and surveil for it. And as far as can you tell if a deer's got it or not by looking at it, well, it is called chronic wasting disease, which means at some point the deer does waste away and get weak and sickly looking and skinny and disoriented and all that kind of stuff. But that actually does not happen until the latter part of the disease, right before the deer actually dies. The disease, the prions, which is a misshapen protein, it's not a bacterial or viral disease. It's a misshapen protein that causes this disease, can be exist in the deer's body for up to 18 months before there's any symptoms. So The bottom line is you can't tell by looking at them. And there are other diseases that cause similar effects to chronic wasting disease, too. So you cannot tell by looking. The only way to tell is to test some neurological tissue in part of the neural system in the deer. And what we do is we use lymph nodes for that. And so we take lymph nodes out of the neck, we send them to a lab, and they can test and confirm whether the disease is in the deer or not. But you can't tell by looking at it.
All right, Dan. Well, it's obviously harmful to the deer, but if that deer is consumed, is that an issue?
So currently there has been no evidence that CWD can be transmitted to humans through eating deer meat. However, Centers for Disease Control, CDC, does not recommend consuming any deer that is infected with CWD. So they're the experts in that category, and we're going to go with their recommendations. So basically we don't recommend you eat it. So really this is helping, I think, hunters out as well to help give them peace of mind when they hunt in a CWD county that they are getting deer that are not, you know, don't have the disease. So what we do is we're asking hunters to bring deer in to one of our CWD sampling stations. Again, this is only mandatory for this Saturday and Sunday. What we do is we extract the lymph nodes. It's actually a fairly painless process, even for the deer at that point. And you know,
wow.
and it's
that's cool.
And we can get, yeah, I know. So I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, we basically it's fairly quick. It's fairly easy. We do take some data from the hunter, like where they shot the deer, what county, and where on a map that was. And so that helps us. Then when we get those samples, we know where it was taken. Taken to a very high degree of accuracy, and then we can monitor where it is on the landscape. And then the hunters will get a card and with a number on it, and that will allow them to check the results on the website. Usually in about 2 weeks or so, they'll be done, 2 to 3. However, if hunters do get a positive, they will get a call from us. So
Nice.
We will let them. Any positives, we will contact directly. Negatives, we don't contact, but everything goes on the website, so you can double-check.
Well, good. Dan, just to let people know, I pulled the map up here. If they're in the sound of our voice here, 97.1 or KMOX, listening to this, Franklin County, Crawford County, Washington County, Jefferson County, St. Francis, St. Genevieve, and Perry counties are the counties in our immediate listening area where you have mandatory, it's a mandatory management zone for CWD sampling for just this weekend. I just wanted people to know that. So
yes, and you're absolutely right. It is those counties for this weekend where it is mandatory. Now, outside of this weekend, hunters are welcome to have their deer sampled no matter where they get it, no matter when they get it, or by what method. They're welcome to have it sampled voluntarily, and that also helps us get data as well. And to that end, to help hunters do that, we are in all these CWD management zone counties, we have drop-off locations. And again, that's all on our website. All the addresses are there, but all the counties that are impacted have them. And so that you can take your deer there.
Got a girl from the If you want the season to change, just hang around Missouri for a little while, and then suddenly it's 71 day and 19 the next. Just our luck for the opening day of deer season. How about that, Bo Matthews? How you like
have
that?
You been looking at the weather forecast? Don't be doing that.
Thank goodness.
You may roll
I
over
did.
And go, I'm going to stay in bed.
That's, man, I'm telling you, what a shock. Let's get to Dan Zarlenga from the Missouri Department of Conservation joining us this morning to talk a little bit more about firearms deer hunting season that is now in effect on the 12th here in the great state of Missouri. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
Great. Thank you. Gonna get a little colder than I'd like for deer season, but other than that.
Well, you know, it's better than what I guess for deer season than it was a week or so ago when it was 80. So, Look at the bright side. It's probably the lesser of two evils.
That is very true. We wanted to get with you and just talk about a couple of the things. If anything has changed this year for people who are going out, what they can expect in terms of licensing and limits and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, a lot of it's similar to, previous years. You, of course, need your deer hunting permit, which is, for residents is $17, resident adults, and, out-state folks is like $265. So, it's pretty reasonable overall as far as permits go, relative. And as far as the limits are concerned, you can take, one antlered deer during the firearms deer seasons combined, or two if you're also hunting archery. And then as far as the antlerless ones go, that's going to vary a little bit this year. Most counties you can fill up to two antlerless permits, but there are some exceptions. So my recommendation would be look at either on our website or the 2022 fall deer and turkey hunting booklet, and that can give you all the details there. But other than that, we're expecting a great season. Looks like the weather will actually, favor, hunters this year, at least for opening weekend. So that's good. The other big news item though, is we are continuing our chronic wasting disease, sampling protocol for this year, like we've done in the most of the recent years past. And that will involve that hunters who are hunting in our select CWD management zone counties will need to bring their deer in for testing those first 2 days of firearms deer season, this Saturday and Sunday, November 12th and 13th.
So how do you know which if you're counting? I mean, is that on the hunter then? I'm sorry to I didn't mean to interrupt Bo there, but is that on the hunter to go to the website and figure out, because everybody's hunting everywhere?
Yeah. So, yes, you can do, again, just like the other things, you can go to our website, mdc.mo.gov, and basically look up CWD, and that will give you, that will get you to all the information. Or if you have that 2022 fall deer and turkey hunting pamphlet, which you can pick up, you can download from our website, you can pick up at any place you buy permits or any conservation office. And that has a very clear delineated map showing you where the CWD management zone counties are, and it shows you graphically in a map what counties do require that sampling, and it's also listed there. So, yeah, it's fairly easy information to get. And so if you are in one of those 34 counties that are in the CWD management zone, you will need to bring your deer in to one of the stations in that county and have it sampled. And those stations are also listed in those same two sources I mentioned, mdc.mo.gov and that fall deer and turkey hunting pamphlet.
From the Missouri Department of Conservation, Dan Zarlenga is joining us. And my question, can we drill down on the information about the chronic wasting disease? How is the testing done? What happens if you, can you visually see that an animal has this or not necessarily? And if it does, do you just not take it in?
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, let me go back a little bit and talk about the history of CWD, and we'll hit all those points. So please. CWD is chronic wasting disease. We'll just call it CWD because that rolls off the tongue a little easier. And, it's been on the landscape in this country since about the late 1960s, but not in Missouri. It was out west mostly, I believe, in Colorado and those areas. But it did make its first appearance here in Missouri at around 2010, I believe. in north central Missouri, and since then it has expanded to encompass more counties in Missouri. The current status is it does appear to be expanding, but very slowly. The vast majority of deer don't have it, so it's not like it's rampant on our landscape. But it's enough to that we want to keep make sure we monitor it and surveil for it. And as far as can you tell if a deer's got it or not by looking at it, well, it is called chronic wasting disease, which means at some point the deer does waste away and get weak and sickly looking and skinny and disoriented and all that kind of stuff. But that actually does not happen until the latter part of the disease, right before the deer actually dies. The disease, the prions, which is a misshapen protein, it's not a bacterial or viral disease. It's a misshapen protein that causes this disease, can be exist in the deer's body for up to 18 months before there's any symptoms. So The bottom line is you can't tell by looking at them. And there are other diseases that cause similar effects to chronic wasting disease, too. So you cannot tell by looking. The only way to tell is to test some neurological tissue in part of the neural system in the deer. And what we do is we use lymph nodes for that. And so we take lymph nodes out of the neck, we send them to a lab, and they can test and confirm whether the disease is in the deer or not. But you can't tell by looking at it.
All right, Dan. Well, it's obviously harmful to the deer, but if that deer is consumed, is that an issue?
So currently there has been no evidence that CWD can be transmitted to humans through eating deer meat. However, Centers for Disease Control, CDC, does not recommend consuming any deer that is infected with CWD. So they're the experts in that category, and we're going to go with their recommendation. So basically we don't recommend you eat it. So really this is helping, I think, hunters out as well to help give them peace of mind when they hunt in a CWD county that they are getting deer that are not, you know, don't have the disease. So what we do is we're asking hunters to bring deer in to one of our CWD sampling stations. Again, this is only mandatory for this Saturday and Sunday. What we do is we extract the lymph nodes. It's actually a fairly painless process, even for the deer at that point. And So I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, basically it's fairly quick. It's fairly easy. We do take some data from the hunter, like where they shot the deer, what county, and where on a map that was. And so that helps us. Then when we get those samples, we know where it was taken to a very high degree of accuracy, and then we can monitor where it is on the landscape. And then the hunters will get a card and with a number on it, and that will allow them to check the results on the website. Usually in about 2 weeks or so, they'll be done, 2 to 3. However, if hunters do get a positive, they will get a call from us. We will let them. Any positives, we will contact directly. Negatives, we don't contact, but everything goes on the website, so you can double-check.
Well, good. Dan, just to let people know, I pulled the map up here. If they're in the sound of our voice here, 97.1 or KMOX, listening to this, Franklin County, Crawford County, Washington County, Jefferson County, St. Francis, St. Genevieve, and Perry counties are the counties in our immediate listening area where you have mandatory, it's a mandatory management zone for CWD sampling for just this weekend. I just wanted people to know that. So
Yes, and you're absolutely right. It is those counties for this weekend where it is mandatory. Now, outside of this weekend, hunters are welcome to have their deer sampled no matter where they get it, no matter when they get it, or by what method. They're welcome to have it sampled voluntarily, and that also helps us get data as well. And to that end, to help hunters do that, we are in all these CWD management zone counties, we have drop-off locations. And again, that's all on our website. All the addresses are there, but all the counties that are impacted have them. And so that you can take your deer there and drop the head off, basically. What we need is the head and 6 inches of the neck. That will give us enough to get that, extract those lymph nodes. There's a freezer there. There's bags. There's labeling materials. And they're accessible basically all the time, 7 days a week. So hunters can drop their heads off there, put down their data, and then, again, we will take those extract those lymph nodes, do the tests, and contact the hunter if it is positive, and all results will go on the website, positive or negative. So that's another way.
Missouri Department. I was going to say the website is really thorough. You guys have done a great job building that website out to make it really easy and step by step. If we can just pivot just real quick, Dan, how was the archery harvest? Has it been good?
So far, so good. I don't have the numbers there, but I think, you know, it's a little slow initially because the weather's been a little warm, so it's not ideal for, you know, getting out there. But I suspect it's going to pick up pretty well as the weather is cooling off. And then the archery season, of course, started September 15th. So that's been going on a little ways now and will proceed until January 15th. So that's our biggest window of deer hunting opportunity for folks. So if you're willing to accept the challenges of archery hunting, you've got kind of the biggest window of hunting opportunity.
Yeah.
So, no, I was going to say, we encourage folks to do that. And also, if you want to get if you're an archery hunter, you want to get your deer tested, you can certainly do that too, as we mentioned.
Yeah. You know my luck, Dan. I just have to tell you, I've often joked that Mark is an Indian name for bad hunter. I almost hit $2 on my way into work this week on the same street. I don't know if they were out. I don't know if the rut has actually started yet or not. I suspect it has. But they were out looking early in the morning on my drive to work. I came in at like 4 a.m. So, you know, as people head out and they're hunting this weekend, I know there are rules on prohibited methods of hunting during firearm season.
Can you
hit a couple of those? I mean, besides cars, obviously you don't want that to be used.
Well, actually, you can, if you do hit a deer with your car,
yeah.
You can make lemonade out of lemons. If you call a conservation agent, you can get a disposition to actually possess that deer.
Oh, okay.
With an okay of a conservation agent. So just as if you had hunted it legally during a legal hunting season. So that's sort of, you know, nobody likes to hit
Mark,
a deer.
Mark, you might get one this year.
Heck, I might get one.
That might improve your chances, but you do bring up a good point, too. I mean, hunting aside, all folks probably would be good to keep extra vigilance when they're driving this time of year because you're right. The rut is underway. It peaks in October and November. So the deer are basically rut, for folks who may not know, that's the mating season for deer. And so they're pretty much consumed by hormones and only one thing on their mind. And it isn't watching out for cars. So, you know, they are running around. They're more active. And so, yes, unfortunately, we do have a spike in deer vehicle collisions this time of year. So, you know, just the same rules apply for any kind of driving. Make sure you're not texting or messing with other stuff. You're keeping your eyes on the road. If you see one deer, there's probably going to be more. So that's a cue to slow down and be vigilant, even if it's just standing by the side of the road. Certainly, if you're going through any kind of rural areas or areas with a lot of fields and forests around, you're going to have a higher incidence of likelihood of seeing a deer. Use your bright lights when you can and, you know, just kind of be extra alert. And so that's what we always want to tell folks. And another thing I think you have this time of year, too, is with the changing daylight times, you know, the sun's rising later and setting earlier, and that sometimes coincides when we're people going to and from work. And dawn and dusk, of course, is where wildlife is typically the most active. So you have a kind of a convergence of things there that often result in a higher peak of accidents. So we always urge people to pay attention and take some extra care on the road.
Dan, Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors is for everybody. And if you're listening and you're not a deer hunter, and you do hit a deer, you know somebody that does. My neighbor just hit one and totaled out his car. It was horrible. Who normally gets the call? Does 911 get the call? How often do we see deer just, you know, dead laying on the side of the road? What should be done? Should we call the conservation department or should we call 911? What's your best recommendation?
Yeah, so if you hit a deer, I mean, the very first thing is you got to look out for yourselves and your passengers. So if there's anybody injured or, you know, you suspect an injury, you definitely want to call 911 and get some medical attention as quickly as possible. Then, of course, you may have whatever you need to do with your insurance company as far as the car is concerned.
Sure.
You could call authorities, the local county sheriff, local police department, or conservation agent and report it as well. What typically happens is those deer get removed. We have like contractors and stuff that will remove the deer. Sometimes an agent might, if he's available. If the deer is still alive, unfortunately, you know, I would call a law enforcement to help you with that situation, and they would probably need to, dispatch the deer as humanely as possible. So those are, those are some things to kind of keep in mind. And then, like I said, if you do want to possess the deer, then contact your conservation agent.
Yeah, how often do they sit there for days on end? It's like,
I don't see it. Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and, it is a challenge in a lot of our urban areas, especially because, traditionally, in historical past, we had lots of predators, mountain lions, wolves, and everything that kept everything checked. We don't have those predators anymore. We have more expansion of urban expansion into formerly, rural areas. So we're getting a lot of that does happen, and that is a thing. And so our only method really of checking deer population is through human hunters at this point.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Dan, is one last question here. Is poaching a big problem for the Department of Conservation, and what should people do if they suspect it?
Yeah, sure. So, I'm not going to kid you. Poaching happens. Okay. We would need conservation agents if it didn't. So
we do,
but the vast majority, 99.9, whatever percent of hunters are of course doing the right thing. And we appreciate that. And, they're following the rules. They're playing the game correctly. But there are a few that don't. And so, yes, we do are on the lookout for those things so we can, we want to make hunting fair for everybody. And, and one of the reasons we have hunting regulations is so that we will continue to have a robust deer population and everyone will get a chance who wants to. But one thing you can do is call, our Operation Game Thief hotline if you do suspect that there may be something. And so if you're out there hunting and you see something that's someone doing something that's not the right thing, or you're just out there hiking or bird watching or whatever you're doing, yes, we appreciate all those eyes on the landscape, because we can't be everywhere, unfortunately.
And
that definitely helps to do that. And so let me pull that number up. That's Operation Game Thief Hotline, and that's 1-800-392-1111.
Okay.
That's on our website also, 1-800-392-1111. So if you see anything, and it's not just hunting, fishing or arson, someone's lighting fires, whatever they shouldn't be doing out there, that line is kind of your hotline for if you see anything. And if folks can do anything like get a license plate or a description, or certainly if they know the identity of the person, any information they can get will be helpful to that. And you can be anonymous if you want. If you don't want your name out there, you can do it all anonymously. Otherwise, you can also be eligible for a cash reward if there is that does lead to a conviction of some sort.
Good to know. MDC.MO.gov is the website. Dan Zarlinga, thanks for filling us in on all the details this weekend. We appreciate it.
Sure, and we just want hunters to be safe out there. Make sure you observe, muzzle in a safe direction. Make sure you do the right things with your tree stands, because that's where most of the accidents happen, believe it or not. So make sure you're using a haul line, you use a restraint system when you're in your tree stand, so you're not going to fall out and all those kinds of things. But be safe and have fun, and that's really what it's about at the end of the day.
We'll do it. Dan, thank you. We'll have you on again soon.
Great. All appreciate the opportunity, guys. You guys take it easy and have a good day.
We will do it. Dan Zarlinga, thank you, from the Missouri Department of Conservation. Great to get him on here. Did I tell you, Bo, about my new gun for deer hunting?
Ooh, no.
Yeah, it's a 2003 GMC Yukon. Because I know just where those bucks are. They live just outside of my neighborhood, and nobody's allowed to touch
fortified, them. Have you fortified the bumper?
Yeah, I should. No kidding.
Put the deer whistles need to get one on of those big backwards.
Yeah, you need to get one of those big brush guards. That's what you need.
Oh, boy. That was good. That was a good segment, though. People need to know that stuff. I'm glad we got
a lot of good information.
You bet.
Chronic wasting disease. Is that ever on the MASH? Do you ever talk about that?
We have not. No, that's not one. I've not gone into the CWD on the MASH.
Okay. Well, good luck to all the deer hunters out there. Be safe, as Dan mentioned. And And Mark, good luck in your hunting this holiday, this weekend, not holiday weekend. Well, it's kind of a holiday for some.
It is, isn't it? No doubt. All right, thank you. Hey, we'll see you next weekend on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.